Welcome to the Scott Pittity Podcast. I've been suspended from Twitter, and here's my conversation with Kristen.
Good. How are you, Scott? How's life off Twitter?
It's interesting. I'm reading electric articles, because that's the almost non-biased articles I can read. Then I go to Tesla Mania, and then it's like I only use one news aggregate, Apple News, because I don't like downloading a whole bunch of news aggregate websites. So it's just like I kind of have a weird, it's kind of funny, because you hear a tweet and hear somebody cover a tweet about Tesla in an article, and it gets distorted, and I'm just like, I'm just going to go to the tweet, and then I can't go to it because it's a reply and I'm suspended. It's real weird. But anyways, that rocket landing was the Starship 8, the serial number 8 that this landed and exploded on landing, was quite amazing. That green flame, I didn't expect that at all. Like Elon said at one point, it's going to look wild in Earth's atmosphere. I just didn't expect it to turn that green. Were you surprised it exploded when it landed, or were you kind of like, well, that's kind of what I expect? Or what did you think of it?
I was thinking, I mean, we had the Hopper before this, and it landed on its feet. That's on its legs before the other one. So I was thinking, I mean, a lot of people thought maybe there was a fuel line issue with one of the engines, but supposedly it was intentional that they cut out. But there was a fuel leak, so there was not enough pressure for the fuel as it came in. And it looked like it was coming in too fast. Like the maneuver was successful, but it looked like it should have been performed possibly a little bit higher altitude, and that the rockets themselves should have been stronger coming in, so that the impact wasn't as hard, because it just hit that concrete pad.
I wish there was like a very slow-mo of it, because you like see the tip slowly explode. You see SN8 slowly explode at the tip, but it was really weird how it kind of disintegrated. You can see all the pieces going together. It brings back flashbacks to when I first started watching Elon Musk blow up rockets. I mean, that was wild. Like I was expecting it to fly a little bit longer, like on its side, through airspace. But I guess it kind of did, but it was going so fast that you're just like, oh wow. But it was amazing how it kind of circled back around. It didn't really circle back around. It kind of just pivoted in the same area. That was mind-blowing. Like I wish they had like a airplane flying beside it, so they could, like, you could see it in space in our airspace vertical. I don't know, it would have been really weird.
Yeah, because it did look like it was floating, like the way that God, what are those called? My mind went blank. Those things that fly around remote control. Oh my God.
A drone.
Yes. It kind of just like sat there. And if it would have been a diver, a high diver, like for diving competitions, mm-hmm. it would look like he touched his toes and then pivoted head down, you know?
Yeah. It was weird, because it's almost like it did the belly flop, but like when its engines turned off, it pivoted side on its side. And it was so weird. Like, I can't explain it with big words, because it's just like, I will always admit, I'm not a rocket scientist, and I'm not like, I just like watching things blow up and like things go real fast. Like I'm quite simple. Things go real fast or they blow up. That's two either cool things.
Yeah, and, that is really cool.
Yeah, but it amazes me that they could even do it on this time scale. I mean, with COVID and everything, I mean, yeah, they've still been at normal operations, but I just can't believe that that has to be a stressful for all the employees at SpaceX in that area, because you're like, what if it just blows up 100 feet up in the air? It's just wild stuff. But It looks like people are getting more Starlink stuff. That's another SpaceX thing. More tribes and areas are getting it. I don't want to mispronounce the tribe, but it was in an Arctic area that they're, I think it was Alaska, where they're getting it supplied at and everything like that. So that's pretty exciting. It does seem like Starlink is going to do what Elon promised. It's going to bring better or internet period to unreachable areas, and I'm glad that he's delivering on that. It's expensive, but it's doable. I feel like if you're paying for crappy internet, you're better off paying for expensive internet than
Yeah.
paying for crap than crappy internet.
I mean, especially for the learning centers, if the tribes are gathering the children within an area. I mean, for COVID, they're probably in-house, but yeah, you're
Well,
right.
even still, if it's a small community, you could and the spread is when these small tribe communities. I haven't really looked at the COVID spread in these communities, but with children, maybe they could gather in a pretty big room with a TV with a projection screen and be spread out and still learn. It's going to be interesting how these areas adapt to this internet, because it's going to improve their lives and improve education tenfold. And another thing is that a lot of people don't realize with those areas is they have nurses or like non-specialty doctors that are live near there, but they usually have to fly in or they have to. So now they have a good internet connection to these doctors where they can do like a FaceTime or a video chat that's stable and that the doctor could actually look at them without a horrible internet connection. That's another thing that's gonna it's gonna improve a lot. It's gonna improve healthcare, it's gonna improve education, it's gonna do a lot of things for those communities up north. Speaking of going up north, the stock. Tesla stock, I did it earlier. It was doing, I think it did 30%, or yeah, th somewhere around 30% in one, gone up 30% in 1 month, and it went down 7% today. Barron's had an article about Tesla had its worst day in months. It isn't clear why, and it's very clear why. I mean, we're in a transition that's being questioned by the incumbent president. We have a ongoing pandemic. Unemployment benefits are starting to run out. Like it surprises me how high the stock is right now. I'm not saying it's too high. I'm just saying I'm surprised it didn't level out in the 500s or something like that instead of shooting past 600 like it did. But you have something that I don't have, and I want to talk more about than other than the stock. How long have you had FSD beta?
I've had it since I bought it the last 10 days of June. I think I had asked Elon like the year before about how often he's going to update the prices, and he said quarterly. And so he had reiterated that. And then people had asked him if he would actually drop the FSD pricing for a 10-day window to people who had already bought the EAP program when you bought your Tesla, which I had already priorly purchased. So I got in that nice window where it was discounted. I mean, it's climbed quite a lot since its early days, the pricing of the FSD in general. I mean, I think like the year prior, people were getting it for dirt cheap.
Yeah, it's like because it's like on a standard range Tesla right now, Tesla Model 3, it's $10,000 on the menu at Tesla's website, but so it adds to a $37,000 car, it adds 10,000, it comes to 47,000. It's pretty interesting because it still doesn't, like when you go back to when it was $8,000, it the cars aren't that more expensive. It is interesting how Tesla does that magic math where they could say, oh, we can reduce some of the price of the Tesla cars when we bring up the price, not every single time, all of the full self-driving, but and you've had full self-driving the beta since they released it in the first release, correct?
Correct. I was about, I believe I was about 3 or 4 days out from some, well, no, I got it about a day after a few people got it. And then I think there was like maybe one or two people who were added a few days after me. And then there was a whole bunch of other people after. I think I was one of
Yeah.
the original eight. Yeah. And then I have a long range, myself. I have a long range rear wheel drive Model 3.
And does it snow a lot in your climate? That's something up.
So I'm only 500 feet altitude. So if
Oh.
you go, you can get about 3 weeks of the winter months where I'll have snow on the ground, anywhere from 2 inches to maybe 6 or 7. But I mean, it can melt off that day if the sun comes out. But not a lot. But I mean, I can drive up to Mount Hood and go. I mean, I do teach skiing up there, and
Yeah, is
there's
it?
snow up there often.
And so you don't, and you don't have any traction issues with the rear wheel drive in your car, like
So I haven't. I mean, yes. I mean, you're talking about fishtailing. I did grow up in a place where there's plenty of ice and snow, and you do usually. I mean, four wheel drive is more. I mean, it's superior. But Elon did state, and the people in Norway who have rear wheel drive, that they haven't seen any issues. The way that the electric motor is working with those vehicles is a lot more efficient than the ice engine. So I mean, he even talked about you could put a motor on every wheel, but that would be crazy. I mean, I think for the Roadster, they've toyed with the idea. But I haven't seen any issues, and I didn't take it up last winter. I take a different vehicle up. I did have a Acura MDX, which is higher up off the ground, and
And I would take that.
and it had a yeah, it had different things to help with that kind of traction. Yeah, a lot of people don't know how to drive in the ice and snow. It's if they
Yeah,
didn't grow up in it, it's kind of funny because it's kind of like a physics thing. You get a feel for how things work, so.
I drove up. I grew up driving rear wheel drive cars. Like my first car was a Geo, and then my, but I only had it for, I never had it for a snowfall, and then I got a Camaro, and like I just got used to this feeling the rear end, this disconnect from the road. And just
Yeah.
go, welp, I cannot press the gasoline, the gas, or I cannot press the brakes. It's like, I wish there was a brake pedal for just the
Oh
front brakes.
God.
Because it wasn't a manual, but I would just downshift. And it's like
Same.
the thing that scared me, like the first snow that I ever had in it, I was going down a road and I ping-ponged from one side of the road to the other in reverse. I don't
Oh
know
man.
what happened, and it was horrifying. And just the guy like behind me, he couldn't stop. So you have me like spinning in reverse, going to from one side of the road to the other, and this car's headlights just beaming me in the face, and I'm like, I'm gonna die. And
Scary.
that's why I'm like, when somebody says, "Oh, I have the rear wheel motor Model 3 or rear wheel motor Tesla," I'm always curious of what they think on the snow traction and then ice traction, because the Model S my friend has, I've never driven in the snow, and he's an old man. He doesn't really drive. If it snows, he's not going to drive. It's just that simple. It's like and if he does drive, he drives like 10 miles per hour and just drives very slowly. And you can still slip, but he's like, I don't realize it because I'm driving so slow.
Yeah.
But what are the improvements that you've seen with the FSD beta in the limited time that you've had it?
Oh, that's funny that you're talking about it because it's almost like I forget what it's like to drive without it. Because, I mean, what we go through green lights, we pause at lights, we pause for vehicles passing through a light. It takes the turns pretty concisely. The lane changes are extremely smooth. I mean, it's almost at the, I mean, it's a point where you nitpick the things it can't do because it can do so many things. You know what I mean? Like the negatives are small and minute, but when they happen, they stand out because it just runs so well for the majority of the drive. So, boy.
That That's the one thing that I've seen, and I've seen it improve with I'm gonna butcher her name, but her name's Kim. That's
Paquette.
yeah. But she one guy was had the FSD, and it was like when the car he's turning and the car is parked on the road, but the car there's a car parked across the street on street parking, but its rear end is out, and it's like the car almost went towards the rear end. I've seen her do the same kind of maneuver, and her car got a little too close to that car to a car parked like that. But it's like that kind of situation is so rare that it's a good learning point, but it's so rare, and even I would mess up pulling out of an intersection if I just realized there was this car that was his ass end was too far out into the road. It is interesting how like you can even see the small improvements on YouTube videos, because you're just like, it blows my mind. Like one YouTube video that I saw was it was raiding at a red light, and then its light turned green, but traffic was still going. It was running. That traffic was r running the red light, and it didn't lurch forward. It's like I've seen driverless cars with the I won't name the name of the company, but with the ones with the LiDAR, and I've seen it lurch forward when that's happened. And I was like, that's amazing. And at first of all, because it's realizing that there's still active traffic and there's no reason to lurch forward to look. I can't believe that the cameras are picking that up without lurching forward to say, oops, my radars are going off, or oops, I see something. I need to stop. That's
Yeah.
that.
That is fascinating. It's like fish in the stream. That is interesting how the cars are reading what is appropriate behavior according to the flow of traffic. That is really fascinating.
And it is interesting, because it's like when you all are on city streets, it does that dotted line and coordinates thing with the boxes and everything like that. But when y'all go onto a highway, it goes to the traditional autopilot FSD render, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, when Elon first announced the FSD beta, he did say it would be FSD beta for city streets. And I think a lot of people forget that. But I mean, it is, of course, running on the highway or the interstates. And another thing people forget is that you guys, everybody out there with regular FSD has builds that are probably slightly different than ours. They're still injecting new software trials into ours where they've possibly disassociated already softwares they've put into our car in order to run new ones because you don't know what they're testing. We think this is going to be for FSD beta standard, but for all we know, different. I mean, right now you can order different parts of FSD. They may be tiering FSD even more with the tests they're doing to us, and even different models and makes and cars may have different. I mean, Tesla make obviously, but different FSD beta or FSD tiering in the future as well. So we assume this is just for FSD mass release that everything's to be running fine, but for all we know, they're testing other things and scenarios, like.
Yeah, it's interesting, because you see a lot of Model 3s on YouTube, but you don't see a lot. The Silicon Valley, Tesla Silicon Valley on Twitter, he has a Model X, and you don't see a lot of other cars. You don't see the Model Y, and you don't see the Model S. I think, yeah, I think that even the person who owns a Model S doesn't have it, but has the FSD beta. Has it on his Model 3, and I've always found that interesting. It's not that I think Tesla's choosing the cars that have the most mileage on them, or the newest car that they can give the that they this they must know a little bit of everybody's habits enough in the fleet to say, okay, this is where this should go, this is where that should go. It is interesting, because you're not seeing like a whole bunch of Model Ys get it. And it's like I saw somebody who just bought FSD as the beta came out, and I was like, I don't think you should, and it was asking for the beta, and I was like, I don't think you should be getting the beta. If you're just getting full self-driving, you're just paying for it, and you're just wanting it for the full self-driving beta, I don't think you're you have enough that I don't think you have enough time behind the wheel of the car being a normal full self-driving on a highway. I just don't think you've I think there is a little bit of a learning curve that you have to get used to it. I don't feel like I don't feel like I should go buy a Tesla Model 3, buy full self-driving, and they should give me the beta the day I start driving it. That would be a horrible idea. Like I would feel like I would say, please don't. Please don't give that please don't give
No,
that to me.
you're right. There is people who actually stated that. I believe there was a joke that all third row got FSD beta, which they did not. I mean, Galley and Viv don't have it, and I think that's it. Galley and Viv just started driving not long ago. I mean, he was living within Manhattan and using traffic and walking means. And Viv just got her license plate not long ago, within the I think this last year, and this is her first vehicle. I mean, this is the first time she's taken to the roads in a vehicle personally. So I mean, there is those scenarios, and I'm sure there's tons of other people. The early autopilot program had all the same access to the same kind of full self-driving build up until the point where I did buy FSD. That's when they were giving green light recognition, the things that the EAP or the Navigate on autopilot alone wouldn't have, which would differentiate it. So I had been using just about the same things as everyone else up to the point, but that's where I really wanted to purchase it, because I was like, wow, I'm going to miss out on what is really coming now with the software releases.
And it's because you already had the autopilot, and then you bought the FSD because you saw the green chime. I'm just saying,
Yes.
it's like that was a good time to buy it. I would admit that was a great time to buy it, because then because it just expands your features a little bit more, and it's just I feel like if you're just buying Tesla full self-driving package to get the beta, I don't think you're ready for it, because it's a lot going on. Like, I mean, I've watched a couple hundred videos of people driving, and it's nerve-wracking. It's not something like I wouldn't want a young driver experiencing this, because it's like I don't trust myself. And just to think of like a young 16, 17, 18-year-old kid getting a beta, this doesn't sound applicable to me. I want to go back to the stock price, because it's actually kind of interesting. They're joining the S&P December 31st, I believe, or
December 21st.
21st, 21st. And I remember Gary Black on on Twitter. Elon famously responded, "Invest in companies that you think you should invest." He kind of really didn't answer the question, but he was like, Gary Black was asking, should they do it in one tranche, where they just buy all the shares that they're going to buy, or should they do it in multiple day periods? And it looks like they're going to do it all at one time. I'm curious what it's going to do to the stock market, stock price then, when else. Well, when all this purchasing happens at once, is it just going to rocket back up, and then it's going to stabilize? Is it going to shoot up past to close to the 700s when all this starts to happen?
Yeah, that's
Which is
interesting. Yeah,
it's
I was talking to a few people, and they were stating that it's actually illegal for them to buy a bunch of it ahead of time. I didn't know that. So I guess they
yeah
have
the
to. They're being forced. Their hands are being forced to buy it in this bull coming up. And so a lot of
Yeah.
people are changing. I mean, they're changing their portfolios. The stock in general was just down today. It was down pretty far, but for the whole stock
Yes.
market.
Yeah. It was all red on my end. That was the funny part. I was like, when like I said on that Barron's story there, like it was down 7%, and it's not sure why. Well, everything was down. Ark was down. Apple was down, and Nikola was down, of course.
I mean, finally, no, just kidding. Poor Nikola. Yeah, definitely Nikola was down. Like, everyone's wondering how it's staying afloat. Yeah, the only stock, I think I had two stocks in my portfolio that actually were up. And I think it was SBE and one more, I can't remember right now.
It's like one of my friends, he got into the market, and he was going to buy Tesla, but he got in when it was just going skyrocketing up, and he was like, I could buy multiple shares from different co like he's like he's not in, as curious as Tesla curious as I am. He's like, I just want to get into the stock market.
Oh boy, you need to do it right.
And he and I was like, no, don't go do it. He's like, I'm that's just one that takes all of my money out. Like, I could buy multiple shares. He buys American Airlines and it goes
Oh
up.
dear. Did he? Well, it did go up. Yeah.
And he and then he bought something that make a car company that makes chargers, EV chargers, and it went up. And like
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I bought a little bit of them.
Blinken, I think that's what it
They
is. And
went
I
up
was
and
like,
another one went up. They doubled. Yep.
I was like, okay, it was like your first day of trading and you've already made $20. Sure. So I was like, he texted me. He's like, what airline should I buy? And I was like, none. Are you crazy? None of
Yeah.
them. But American Airlines, they do have a good CEO. And when they do get negative press, they do actively. They even I feel like they even react quicker than the Tesla fanboys or Elon Musk does. He because Elon Musk is kind of slow on criticism, or he really kind of just ignores it. And it's a good thing. I think that's a healthy thing. If he focused on all the criticisms that were going on in the day, that he would probably go mad.
Yeah, and a lot of them are so impotent and like non-logical.
It's like I won't name any names, but it's like the recent suit from an employee. It's like when you start reading the story, you're like, ooh, that's fucked up. Like, that whole situation's messed up. Like,
Yeah.
now I feel bad. It's like, okay, what? Like, when you that's the one thing I hate about Twitter. I hated about Twitter was like, you get a little bit of it and you get a little bit of the story and you get a little bit of Tesla side, and then you get an article like yesterday that was like, you're like, wait a minute, that is messed up how she was fired. Like, I don't know. It sounds like an awkward situation to be in, and I wouldn't want to be in
Well, and you have to remember when people tell stories from the person who possibly is in juxtaposition to Tesla, they're going to ignite the story with as much inflammatory words as they can. And
Yeah.
Tesla is going to probably, I mean, in just the same is going to post what they think. So there's got to be some kind of middle ground where it's not as looking the way that just the two people are stating, you know what I mean? It's kind
It's
of
like
like
I
Holmars was talking about Aaron Greenspan, and he was stating that when Aaron wrote his book, Aaron's going to write from his perspective, and it's going to paint people the way that Aaron wants to a degree that it downplays or upplays things, and then you have to go to the other opposing party we haven't even heard from to some degree, and what does it look
Yeah.
like to them?
It's like for a good book to be written, it has to be somebody who's not involved.
Yeah, that's why a historian does not write themselves into the history. They try to stay neutral. You're right.
It's like Eric Larson's The Devil in the White City. It's about the World's Fair of 1918
Oh, wow.
in
Yeah.
Chicago, and it's about that murderer who had
Yes.
that, and it's wild. It's a wild story
I
'cause
think I
it's like
read that story. Yeah.
when you realize that Walt Disney as a child walked around this World's Fair, and you're like, I
Oh, see,
wonder
I
where
didn't
he
know
got
that.
the when you like I mean you were like, oh, I wonder where he got this idea of building a theme park.
Isn't
Like,
that
it's
fascinating?
like you're like, wait a minute, that makes a lot of sense. Like, when you look at Disney, right when it was the architecture what isn't very similar what was at that World's Fair, but
But it was
it was
larger than
similar.
life, and it was assembled and disassembled. You're right.
It was a massive thing. It's like when I realized, because I was 17, 18 when I read the book, and I was like, where is it? Where is this? Like, they built all of this and it's gone. And they're like, yeah, my parents are like, yeah, that's what happened at these world fairs. And I think it's a shame that that's kind of stopped. It's like now we have CES, now we have all these, like, I guess technology companies kind of did that, do it on their own, or they have that Las Vegas thing. But I feel like that should still happen. That was a good, like, that was a interesting test in architecture and technology in the 1918s.
Well, the 1918s were just like booming. I mean, we had the top hats that were the Industrial Revolution was just booming, and we were at our peak for that kind of stuff. Our ability to come up out of that Victorian era and just assemble at a massive scale, we were like, it was the awe of the world, that 1918, Emporium, that huge event, which is just crazy because if I remember, they were building Greek styled architectures out of the big buildings around there that they disassembled.
It's wild what the it's and I don't want to go into the whole killer thing, but him himself was, I mean, like, if you take away the horrible acts that he did, he was a genius. Like, he did some crazy stuff. Like, he created a whole hotel that was basically a trap. Like, it's wild.
It was wildly sick, and it's the inspiration for a lot of horror movies.
It's like, that's another movie that Elon Musk could put his money towards. He did a very good movie with Thank You for Smoking. He should probably put his money towards making that movie.
That
That
would be
should be the
wild. He would be next
like,
year.
I don't know, but it would be a very it, that would be a very good, because he did very well with his money for Thank You for Smoking. That is a very good movie. It's like those comedies of that era in the 2007s kind of aged, and they don't kind of like you kind of they don't kind of fit in. But now, like, now Thank You for Smoking even holds up even more in the political arena that we're in now. It's like I watched it right after Trump was elected. I was like, this movie's perfect for now. It's like great.
He's such a
But
forward thinker. Yeah, you're so right. But the historians usually don't write themselves in. So, like, you were right when he talks about D Walt Disney, and when they talk about a character, they research what influenced them. That's really cool.
it's it because it's because it, I mean, like, you could literally you could imagine him Disney walking around in that climate. I mean, they're just getting out of the Victorian age. Everything's just starting to industrialize, and they build this magic city of light out of nowhere. It had to be mind-boggling. And even all the booths that were there, like, you can't even go through all the stuff that was actually, like, displayed at these world fairs. It was thousands of things that was probably displayed.
Wow.
And I feel like we should go back to something like that. I feel like we should be able to build a future city, even if it's a very small city block, just to show and then leave it and improve upon it. I feel like instead of having gadget events, we should have actual big world fair technology things. But it kind of goes back to the thing of, like, how Elon Musk said, well, our skylines aren't changing. I'm going to misquote him and butcher it, but he was saying our skylines aren't changing. Our civilization seems like it's slowing down, and I would agree with him
Yeah, you can only go
that.
so hit the ceiling so far before you need new innovation. True.
It's like if everything's stifled to a point and it's not changing, it doesn't. No change, no small incremental change. With no small incremental change, big change does not happen. It has to be constant improvement. And it's like if you get frozen in this hunk, it could be the death knell. I agree with them.
Yeah,
And it's
stagnant
like,
water is bad for you. You need water that continually refreshes. That's true.
And it's like I liked what he said in that Wall Street Journal interview, where he was like, money's just another data entry point.
Yeah, that
And
is truly.
I was like, I wish he said that a long time ago, because it's like when they did first do the capital raise, and I was like, that's a great idea. Ignore the dilution, ignore all that. Well, the stock, it's giving them cash on hand.
Yeah.
And it's giving them a stockpile. And it's like, what's the beautiful thing about that? And I've said this before on this podcast that sometimes if you have cash on hand, it's easier to get a loan. If say you have $4 trillion worth of cash, it's still easier to go get a loan and pay off that loan as your instead with your cash instead of just paying off all of your debt and using that cash. That cash is good for emergency moments. It's not good just to go, all right, I'm going to take all of this debt off the table immediately. It's good to have that sitting there. It's not like Tesla's going to say, okay, I'm going to give this $5 billion to build in Germany. That's not what they're going to use. They're going to use that $5 billion over a long period of time. And
Yeah, because
I
they're
think
trying
it's
to
a,
reach for sure. I mean, they're looking at new means of growth outward right now. It's not because I mean they're so fresh and new with the growth inward. It's not like they need to revamp what the method inside. They need to move outside. Yeah, that's so true. But Elon did, I mean, with PayPal, that's where he came up with the idea of PayPal, is he was that banking intern thing back when he was wearing that hat in that picture. He realized that data points in banks were just software numbers, and if they're tracking money that way, that you could actually have transfers between banks and people that way, off software, off a platform, and that's where PayPal came into account.
And I can't believe it boggles my mind that he's out of PayPal. I wish he had a little bit of control over PayPal, because I still think it would be a better service. I feel like
Yeah.
if they listened to him, I feel like a lot more people would be using PayPal, and maybe Square Cash might not be in existence. I feel like they could have made, but maybe Tesla wouldn't exist or something like that. It's like Elon Musk said recently, there's too many MBAs, not enough engineers. There's not enough people making stuff. And
That is true. People
my
want
both.
success, but they don't enjoy, or they're not looking at the means of why success is success, because you've created something, you know?
My brother, he internshiped at a defense contractor. And he didn't have the GPA to get the job. Like, they wanted you to keep a 4.0 or something to continue to work at this place while you're an intern, after your internship was up. And what he did was this became the smartest person for that company, not the smartest person from a college. Like, he
Yeah.
quickly realized that the college degree, it wasn't worth it. If I could entrance them, then I got it. He was like, yeah, they have that little rule about my GPA, but that's to filter out the morons. Like, he quickly said that. He quickly realized that. He was like, I just have to wow them and give them enough data entry to just go, okay, this guy's there. And now he's like the head of whatever in this blank ass company. I can't go too far into that, but
So he made himself, he put in some deep roots and made himself invaluable.
it's like he didn't even show 1 ounce of like, oh, I'm worried about my grades. He never even, like he said, he never even brought it up. He never brought up, like, because he would say he would hear other interns worry about it with their bosses. Guess what? Those interns don't work there.
Yeah, because the flaw, you're showing a weakness. Yeah, questionableness.
And I will say, in this company, it's a legacy company, and it's not easy to stay there. It's like you have to be on your ball game,
Yeah.
and it's cool. Cool. It boggles my mind, because it's like, my brother's not super smart, but obviously they liked him somehow or another.
He sounds like he's good with people and he's good with mind games. Like, you have to have a mental aptitude and momentum to be able to sustain like where you're at. And you could be the smartest person in the room, and if things come to you easily, you don't know how to put it in, you're not gonna let you don't have any withstanding. You've never been through a trial. It's always been easy, you know?
It's like my brother's not book smart, but he was obviously smart in the right areas because it's like,
Yeah. Well, there's so many different smarts. Yeah.
it's like it just blows my mind. Anything interesting happen on Twitter while I was gone? While I was
Oh,
gone.
people asked and they missed you for sure. I'm sorry
Oh.
about. I hope everything gets better for you. Just different people that were in the group chat that we had had going on. Like people just they'll ask me like, "Where's Scott?" I mean, people are asking.
I don't miss it. I don't miss Twitter, but it's like I told you before, it's like tell people to say don't cry for me. To say don't cry for me, Argentina. Like I kind of
Haha.
deserved it. Like I deserved the suspension a little bit. Like I deserved I deserved it to an extent, but I didn't don't ex deserve to be ignored. Like they're just ignoring me right now, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah,
And
that's
it's
they don't have the best efficient feedback system at all. It's just kind of like
no.
more efficient for them to ignore many people. And even the degree that they execute some of their positions is strange and sometimes without warning or without explanation. So you're not capable of clarifying and like correcting a wrong because there's nothing to understand. Like you just know all of a sudden you did something wrong, but you have no clue, which is the same idea with child rearing. You want to make sure a child knows what they do wrong. You just don't punish them.
Yeah, and it's like I don't know. And my main worry was, well, what is this lady gonna say after I'm suspended? Like now I can't see what she's saying, and I sat there for a couple of days saying, should I worry about this? Should I worry about this lady? And I was like, no, everybody else doesn't worry about her, so I'm not going to. And it's just that I sometimes wish that people would realize the context of the conversation. I'm not, and with everything I said on Twitter, it was not 100% serious. Like even when I was like a halfway aggravated or anything like that, it was over dramatization of what I was really feeling. Like I that's not how I actually like. That's not my raw emotions on Twitter, and I feel like everybody thought it was, and it wasn't. It was more of a parody of myself. I actually wouldn't say half the stuff that I said on Twitter to someone's face. I would just be like, I would say it probably nicer or not at all. And I've actually realized that Elon's been off Twitter less recently. Why do you think
Yeah.
that?
Let's see. He has been off Twitter recently since the success of the Dragon Crew 2. That's when I noticed that it and the battery day. I mean, it led up to battery day. I think a lot of us have been off Twitter a lot lately. Some of us actually took breaks, and I kind of wish I did. The politics in general were very heated, and whatever people said, and I think you were banned during that time, so there is to note that. People were very sensitive. I mean, whatever you said could be easily misconstrued, and it seemed like people were apt to want to put people in camps as if, oh, you're this, and I don't want to hear you anymore, which is very sad. I think as adults in general, just I mean, you really shouldn't throw out a whole group of people or thinking pattern just because you assume that you understand everything to a degree. It
Yeah,
never works that way.
it's like I realized that like I made a mistake when I called the I was just doing numbers in my head, well, election night, and I was like, Biden's got this in the bag, like. Early on, before I mean, when it was all when the media called Arizona, I was like, it's done. It's like the numbers can't do it.
Yeah.
The numbers can't change the outcome of the numbers can't not change too radically. Now, a couple court cases, possibly, but it's like, do I really care if Trump gets another term? Because of some legal, no, I don't care. Or do I? Am I happy that Biden won? Yes, because he's normal and old and not Trump. Like that's it. Like I would not like Trump if he was a Democrat. Like that's like that's something that a lot of people don't realize is like it's not if Trump was a Democrat and believed in climate change and still acted the same way, I probably would hate him. Like
No,
it's
I think you're
been.
right. I think that's a big part. I think personality-wise, that is a huge thing. People don't care for the way that he comes across at all. I think you hit that on the head pretty well in general. Yeah, I think you're not alone in that.
It's like I like what he did with China. Did it work? No. It's
Yeah,
like
China is quite the force to play games with anyway.
it's
Right
like
now.
it's it just like made me like worry that Elon Musk shouldn't go to China. It's just like
Yeah.
I was like, maybe he shouldn't go there. This he maybe he could go visit via video.
But don't you love how Elon just like, he's like a master tactician. He's just thinking what to do and he just goes right. I mean, he plays games, mind you, and these games are strategy games about taking the opponent's often like fort or tribe or area. So he goes right to the heart of where it
Now,
matters, straight into Germany, straight into China, and he's going to strike and make the biggest blow. And it's not a blow per se, but it's going to make the biggest difference.
it could that German factory could take be make a vacuum in Legacy Auto hires. It could create a headache for BMW, Volkswagen. It could create a headache. Because
Yeah.
they're going to need the employees. And guess what? Tesla's going to say, we have this capital, we have this money, we're going to have to spend it on employees. And that's the best thing to do. It's like Tesla released their first diversity report. And for their first diversity report, it was pretty fucking good. Yeah, it's predominantly male and predominantly white, but isn't that all of the tech sector, basically? Like there's a few women CEOs. I
I
don't
mean,
think
my take on that is the demographics. It aligns with the demographics. Like, if it just happens to be what's in the area, you can't punish people that didn't fly in two states away. Like,
And the demographics are going to change with Germany and with Texas a lot more than like what you think. And it's going to be interesting how it improves the health of the company. It's like I'm curious if the next diversity report that they release is in 2022 or 2021 after Texas or Berlin is operational. It's going to be a diff totally different numbers, because I feel like there's different types of women in Texas. There's a different type of education system in Germany. There's going to be people who are, there's just going to be different people. And
Yeah.
it's going to, each factory is going to attract its own people.
Well, I mean, are we looking at China though? I mean, how much of China has actually hired anyone that's not Chinese? So
Yeah, true. And it's like for China, I remember at the height of the coronavirus thing, for them to have zero deaths in China for out of 7,000 employees during the, at least that's what Elon was saying during one of his Joe Rogan interviews. That's pretty impressive.
that is pretty impressive.
I don't know, and I don't think a Tesla employee has yet died of COVID, so that's pretty good in the long run. I don't think any auto sector employees have died. I haven't really paid attention to it, but
Technically, it's not the auto sector's fault if someone has an autoimmune disorder and gets COVID either. I mean, they can go to the grocery store and get it.
it's one of those things. It's like, and it's funny because it's even like when you hear about the COVID cases at Tesla, they didn't get it there, they got it
No,
somewhere else.
exactly. And what the studies are showing, they're getting it in close proximity in smaller gatherings in house or buildings, and not at work, not at places where people are meeting en masse but have masks and are separated further out. Yeah, that's so true.
I have a couple more thoughts that I want to get across, and then I'm gonna let you go.
Can we
If
talk about Brandenburg real quick?
yeah, sure. What do you want to talk?
So Brandenburg is the most economically depressed area in Germany, and we have that Brandenburg airport that has just been the laughing stock of airports ever built. But it's supposed to, open up and launch. But see, it was so strategical. He goes in an area that's so depressed and open for the need to see growth. And there's engineers that are probably transferring into Berlin and other cities that would gladly welcome an opportunity to be a head engineer at Tesla. It's such a strategic move. It's brilliant.
If it's like if I had history in the auto industry or engineering industry, period, and I was willing to learn German or go, or I've been to Germany and I'm at least used to the culture, I would be like, I wouldn't mind moving to Germany and working for Tesla. Like, I feel like it's going to bring people in outside of Germany also. That's the whole beautiful part about it. It's like it's going to be a very interesting collective of people. And it sounds like Elon's going to pay attention to the development of both factories. And what did you think about him moving to Texas?
So Elon has stated before that he loves Texas. He stated this like back in 2016, 2015, and I don't blame him because it's a go big or go home kind of attitude, and like Elon is a go-getter and go all out there. And I mean, it is a little bit wild and rugged and romantic when you think about what the US is. Texas kind of still embodies that Western kind of build an empire kind of on the range kind of attitude, which Elon kind of is doing. I'm not shocked that he's moving there. With the way that COVID went down and the restrictions and penalties, like it makes sense. He'd already been putting the chips there. Boca is there for the Mars Stargate. So I mean, it just makes sense for where he spends most of his time with his newer endeavors to be putting it into that area. I mean, I don't. He sold his houses in L.A. and you know, I don't even. I mean, he's got. I mean, he's got. The one in San Francisco, but I mean, he didn't even really stay there, he stated. And the houses are not, they're for living and for, you know, doing the events and things you need to do. But Boca make, I mean, Texas makes sense. I mean, they were talking about how many miles it is from LA to Austin. It's like 24, it's the 24-hour drive. You know, it's not. And if I was to drive from Portland, Oregon to LA, it's like a 18 to 21-hour drive. It depends on my stopping. So it's quite a, it's like a whole stretch of the coast almost, like just turned sideways.
And back to the whole Brandenburg thing, it is interesting because I haven't paid attention to the airport story, but is it one of those airports that's just been like stalled in development and it's never been really used or something like that?
It was like a decade going. Every time that they wanted to put the money into it to revamp something because the codes weren't right, things were so outdated they had to rip it out and start all over again. Like at some places, it was just like this a mass failure of not getting it launched that you just kept falling behind in you know, expectations. But those permits and things that have changed, like you had to revamp and code and stuff like that. So it's, and I don't remember if it did open yet, but it was supposed to open soon. If not, it already has, which is, it's just kind of like, wow, Brandenburg's getting this new shiny of things happening for them.
And it's like with the whole how Tesla's permitting the factory, I've explained it to my dad, and he was like, that's the best way to do it. He says even if Tesla had to revert the land back, and
Yes.
that's the worst case scenario, and they had to like rechange their plans. He said that they could absorb the cost in 10 years. It's not like a death blow. It isn't a
Right.
death blow, and it's probably the smartest and conservative approach to opening a factory right in the middle of your competition. Like, I mean, it's
Yeah.
if people say, well, GM, they try to say GM and Chevy and GM and Ford and the American companies are the big brothers here. No, if you really think about it, it's the foreign European automakers that are the big brothers to Tesla. The price point compares to an Audi. So that's who they're really, that's the, if you took away the EV and the autopilot and everything like that, that's who Tesla would be competing against, is the Audis and the Mercedes and the BMWs, and they're wiping the floor with them, and it's quite interesting.
Well, and
I've been I
go ahead.
it, it it's like I keep on going back to like I and my crazy idea of, well, Tesla, how Elon said, oh, there should be, if there was a friendly merger or a friendly acquisition that we could do, I would do it. And I'm like,
Right.
well, the only friendly acquisition I could think of is Ford, and they would have to be very open to it, and you would have to be, and Tesla shareholders would have to be very open to it. It would be very complicated with Ford, and that's the easiest one. And then there's Volkswagen, and that's that and that would just be a monstrous company. Like
Volkswagen is part of a huge umbrella of groups, but you are right. Like the Japanese and the German automotives have been known for the ones that have the higher point luxury and also the cars that have the longest longevity. So they were the carriers of what engineering is. We looked at the Japanese and German engineering as superior. Like Americans may have come up with the auto engineering at some point, but we weren't the ones that were carrying the innovative engineering anymore.
And
But
it's
now
like,
Tesla is. Now Americans are with Tesla. And Tesla, yes, is an American company. It's worldwide. It's still American. I know people want to say, well, it's everybody's or SpaceX, and I understand that, but still it's coming out of America.
Yeah,
With the
it's
von
does.
Holzen may have a German name, but he's an American.
It's always good to have
Dutch-known,
a.
actually.
It's actually good, always good to have a little bit of German in engineering. It's always good. It's like people make fun of Bentley because it's a United Kingdom car company, and it's a BMW 8 series slapped on with Bentley parts and the Union Jack. Every internal bit of a Bentley is a German manufactured thing.
Right.
And it's slapped on with these UK memorabilia. And you're like,
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of, even look at the House of Windsor, and they're German, and it's a whole big joke there.
Let me ha
What do
Well, I was
you
gonna say,
see?
oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, we also have to remember that the Axis powers of World War II, Germany, Italy, and Japan. Japan and Germany lost a lot of footing and okay, and the Allies, America went back and helped revamp Germany and Japan. I mean, the engineering mind and master of Deming went in Japan and the engineering schools he was teaching them, and that's where Toyota came out of that. But Germany is not much different. We implemented a lot as we went back in to help rebuild up their countries because we had demolished a lot. So there's a lot of influence still, as much as Americans don't like, or people don't like to pay America heed to some degree. But it's like always giving us the top dog always the credit. That's just not fair after a while either. So.
It's like and another comparison that I make to Tesla and is Hyundai or Kia. Hyundai and Kia. If you look
Yeah,
at
Korean.
the past 10 years of what Hyundai and Kia has done, from really crappy economy cars to now the Genesis brand, and Kia and Hyundai cars are going up market and looking better. It's like they're doing it's like we're going to see that happen with Tesla, but it's going to be a different it's not going to be going from cheap economy cars. It's going to be different. It's going to be kind of in the reverse. It's going to be a, it's going to be a they're cut That's the only company that I see as a major competitor. Yeah, the EV ranges that they have out now aren't that great, but they could improve. And I feel like that's going to be one company that we have to pay attention to.
Yeah, it is interesting. Korean companies have a lot of nepotism. I mean, from Samsung to everything, but you are right. In the electronics field, there in the tech, there is a lot of Korean companies that are up and that have been doing really well in the world on the world platform so far. But I mean, they possibly could. There's a lot of psychology behind all that for sure.
And it's like with the FSD chip, it's like I've explained it to one of my friends. He worked at Ericsson. He built cell phones for them, and he built radios for them. And then he was like a he tested the products in hot and cold temperatures and stuff like that.
Interesting.
And one of the things that he thought that was interesting, he's like, all the chips. All of our silicon is basically either built or designed in China, except Apple and now Tesla. And he was like looking at the FSD chip, like at the pictures that I had, and he was like, I don't see like, so this is an American company. Like he like repeatedly asked me, he was like, well, who designed this? And I was like, Tesla. And he was like, but who built it? And I was like, Samsung. And he was like, oh, okay, that explains it. But he was like,
Yeah.
well, did Samsung have any development in it? No. Like he was like, this is it. He's like, well, Tesla just toppled the Silicon Kings. Like that Asia was the people who are making the best chips and the best computer processing power. And it's like his mind was blown because it's like he went from seeing how fast they can make a cell phone, and now I don't know, his mind, I'm not explaining it good enough, but
No, you
he's
make sense.
it's my it's it was mind-numbing to him that he was just like, wait a minute, this is an American design product. It's like my Mac M1, it's the smoothest computer I've ever owned. Like,
Well,
and I'm
and but you see, we're mass manufacturing in China, but we're still using American engineers. Our brain
yeah.
talent still is coming out of America, but we're just giving it to cheaper labor elsewhere, you know?
Yeah, and you thought, and like it's he, my friend said, you thought this brain drain was happening, and it doesn't seem like a brain drain happened. It seems like it was a consolidation. It was like it was a very people realized that there was a very niche part of silicon that we needed to focus on. And there's only a few people who are really good at it. There's only like you got John Keller, and then I can't name anybody else. If anybody else can, I like to hear the name. But and they've all worked at Tesla, and it's mind blowing. It's like back to the whole Ericsson thing and production. It's a weird story. They built this production robot that can build a phone like the Ericsson cheap little plastic. They look like Nokia phones, but they could build them in 90 minutes. And they only did it once. And they said, what he said was the failure rate was less than us building them by hand, but it was so expensive just to like he because he was he, when I told when I told what I'm why I'm bringing up the story, he was like, I was telling about how Elon's vision of an alien dreadnought building the machine. He was like, yeah, we did that, but we only did it once. It's
That's like the
like
triangle triage of the time. If you have a triangle, each point, one is time, one is talent, and the other is money. That's exactly what you're trading off right there.
And it's like Ericsson was known to like blow money. Like they would just blow money. They were part of the group that created Bluetooth. They he wasn't, but like Bluetooth was being created while he was working there. And he was like, they would blow money on like sending us places. He said he made money having children. He was like, it didn't make sense. He's like, that's why Ericsson's the way they are now. And he's like, I could. He always says, well, I could see Tesla going out the way Ericsson did, but owning all these patents. He's like, I would say he's my skeptic. He's my Tesla skeptic. And he's just like, I don't. His case is, I could see Volkswagen just producing an affordable car, comparable range, and everybody just going, pfft, forget Tesla. But I was like, you got this market capture that if somebody comes out with an EV, I don't think a Tesla owner is going to go trade in their brand new Model 3 or Model Y for a different manufacturer. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think they might buy a Rivian. I think they might buy if the let's say if the Nikola Badger was real, they might buy that, but would they get rid of their Tesla? No. I feel like Tesla's captured the market enough that if even their retention rate is going to be greater than any other new company, any old company. They're going to, their customers might buy new products that are from other companies, but I don't think they're going to lose customers to other companies.
No.
I think they're going to gain customers. Let's say somebody buys a Rivian, hates it, and they say, well, there's another EV truck on the market that's called a Cybertruck. They're going to go to the Cybertruck, or they're going to
Well,
go to the
yep.
Ford, or they're going to go to the Ford option, or they
Yeah, with
buy
the
the
success
Mach-E.
rate. Yeah, with the I think you're right. With the success rate of Tesla, if you're gonna go with wanting to experiment on a new EV that's coming out, not even sure the network or itself is like gonna float long. Like if it doesn't take too many bad reviews from really high up people that can afford these vehicles to realize that you want to go to something that's secure, you know?
And it's like the Rivians are like niche products, and I do wonder how many of the people who are buying them are Tesla owners. That's something I've always been curious about, is how many Rivian pre-orders are people who own Teslas but didn't pre-order the Cybertruck, because I mean, a lot of people pre-ordered the Cybertruck even if they thought it was ugly.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to know how many of these people already owned EVs, or are they just buying it because it's a cool truck?
Yeah, that is
But
interesting.
do you have anything else to add?
You were talking about the silicon makers, which was really fascinating. Just a few things that I wanted to add there was like Tesla, I mean, even with the batteries right now, Tesla is setting the pace now by creating its own batteries by the demand which it needs, because it's eating up the demand on the market faster than anyone else. It's demanding that we have mines that can suit its consumption, because it's consuming so fast, and the market itself can't keep up with the mining itself, with the consumption that is in demand, and so we see it exploding. But Tesla is now setting the standard for what it needed. It basically has something. It says, this is what I need. I mean, this is the way Elon works. Well, I think that we should not be throwing away rocket boosters. Well, I think we need to remake them. People think this hasn't been done. It's not going to happen. Elon says we need to do it. He does it. And then he sets the standard. This is what he does in all of his industries, which is fascinating. But I wonder what you think about diamond motherboards, because I know we're doing silicon, but diamond motherboards are like 10 times more efficient and 10 times more like storage.
It all goes down for me, is it goes down to the cost for the producer and for the consumer. It's like, you know how I used to get frustrated when people would bring up hardware four on
Yeah.
or the next hardware iteration for Tesla full self-driving.
Right.
This is the pace of when Apple announced the M1 Apple notebooks.
Right.
They were already working on the M2.
Right,
They were
correct.
already working on the M3. For
Which is what you
us,
do, yeah.
and for us, for cons normal consumers, and normal consumers aren't Tesla owners. I will say that. We'll give that caveat.
Yeah.
It comes down to, do you have faith in the company that it can deliver full self-driving today if regulation allowed it? If you choose yes, hardware four should not be important to you. And a lot of people don't like it, and a lot of people don't like my thinking behind it. It's like how Elon said, well, if there's ever an upgrade, it's free. I feel like hardware four shouldn't be free. If it's such a computing jump, and let's say the MCU is immigrated or to the full self-driving, and the neural net is 10 times better, and the backup chips, the redundancies are 10 times better.
Yeah.
I think there is some type of cost that could be trickled down to the consumer. And yes, they have promised that upgrades would be free, but I feel like there's a time when you need to take profit, and that would be one of those times. It's just because if you could already get full self-driving off of hardware three computers, then why push the upgrade to everybody and give them this computer chip and waste the capital to build it and then put it in? I understood it with hardware three because it was such a jump. and
Yeah.
it was Tesla designed.
Yeah, you're right. At some point, the tech and the chips do become obsolete. I don't know. There's only so far paced ahead that you can keep before you do have to change out the hardware. But would you even fathom to think possibly hardware 4 would be for a steering wheelless car?
Yes, that's what I would think. And I think the robo taxis would get it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say the leased vehicles that get returned to Tesla, and when the robo taxi network gets turned on, it would become it, they would possibly go to Hardware 4, and Hardware 4 might have a redundancy that puts the driving controls onto the screen.
Right.
So instead of a steering wheel input, you're going to have arrows or some kind of tactile though that you can use on your phone to control the car. Because I do see it's that some regulators might be like, okay, it's okay that you remove the steering wheel and the brake pedals and everything like that, but there has to be some type of redundancy that if the driver wanted to take control of the car, there's a possibility, there's a way to do it.
Right.
But with those with robo taxis and a car, and the car's like, I need you to take over. I think I need the human to take over. I think it's going to pull over and disengage. I don't think it's going to be like, I need you to take over just from some random robo taxi person. I don't feel like, because it's like, what if the person's in the back seat and they're like, well, I need human intervention? That's not going to work. It's going to have to,
That would be funny.
for robo taxis to actually work and to actually be fully safe, they don't need human intervention. They don't need the human in the driver's seat. Waymo's got that, but it's on like a predetermined path, and it's LiDAR.
Yeah,
But
that whole Google mapping for the last decade is fascinating.
and on mapping, it's like, I've said this before, as FSD progresses, and the data collection that Tesla can collect from its cars, they can build maps with that data. And technically that would be HD mapping data. And I feel like that's something that Tesla should try to come up with. It's like, get off their dependence of Google Maps and say, we don't need Google Maps. So yes, their technology and their mapping technology is great, but
Yeah.
if we could build our own and render our own, then why not?
I feel to
I mean, I
some
don't.
degree they definitely have that on the back burner as an idea, but I mean they have to see where the fork in the road is and where it leads, I guess. I think you're right.
Yeah. It's like they are, there's mapping that's already pretty good. I'm just saying, you're not going to need mapping in a full self-driving car. The human is not going to like have to see the planned route. It's like, that's when I was saying, maybe they could, then they did it, they could expand the FSD visualization, because you really don't need the little map. You don't need that map when it's rendering everything around you. That's in the future. With diamond chips and gold chips, they're already using a whole bunch of gold and silicon. I just feel like the whole diamond thing, it's going to get down to, is it cost effective,
Right.
and is it worth it? And it might be worth it in small applications.
Right.
Well, like, again, I just don't think a new hardware iteration should be somebody, it should be a normal customer's thought process. It's just like, oh, I'm way,
Oh yeah,
but.
you're right. What if, I mean, let's think about the Matrix, because people like to take things back to the Matrix. Back, the machines are in power, the robots, and they're using humans as batteries and pods. They're living off, because all of our cells are like little electrolyte batteries. What if they're all running off like diamond motherboards? I mean, because humans themselves, when they combust in a crematory, you can force them into the shape of a diamond, all their ash. Which is, I mean, like, what if they're just making all their motherboards off of humans too? Isn't that just wild? Like, That
Yeah.
would be
Oh, it's
crazy.
like I read a good, really good article about and I sped read it. It was about how they could form bones, form batteries into the formation of bones, like where marrow was.
Oh, that's
The
cool.
imagine having so it's like the exoskeleton on the Cybertruck. But the battery, but the inside the exoskeleton structure, that's the batteries. They're using that structural battery pack. But it's, and you were saying something about how Tesla's building its own batteries. It seems
Right.
like every other manufacturer is building their own batteries.
Yeah, I think it's the way to go. I mean, it's a race. It's a race for that kind of stuff. It's kind of like we know that Warren Buffett is getting into the electrical grid race. He's buying up grids. I mean, he's freaking playing Monopoly with his railroads and everything else. But I mean, that's what everyone's doing. The CRISPR technology back in 2014, 15. I mean, Bill Gates was investing in it. Elon was investigating or investing in it. People, it's just like it. These hot things that come about and people see the vision. These big visionaries understand where it's going and they jump on it. And they invest in it, you know? I think you're right. That whole bone thing is fascinating because when people, like I read up on when girls become anorexic, like where they're starving themselves, they're caloric deficient. The first things that start doing besides their marrow hollows out inside their bones
Yes,
because their
yeah.
body uses it. It's fascinating. I mean, that's where the killer T cells are made too, but.
Your body starts to eat the marrow. It's awful. And it's like my whole thing with what I was trying to get was Tesla's building their own batteries and every other manufacturer starting to build their own too.
Yeah.
Why do you think, and Ford was recently asked, well, would y'all build your own Tesla, would y'all build your own batteries or would y'all go to a supplier? And the Ford CEO kind of said, well, we'll think about building our own. Why aren't they saying, well, we'll think about buying them from Tesla? Is it just because they're just ignoring Tesla? Because I mean, Elon said he's open to selling bits and hardware from Tesla to other auto manufacturers. Are they just ignoring that call? Or is Elon not making enough overtures to legacy automakers saying, hey, we have this great battery cell that we're going to be coming out with. It'd be great for your F-150. It'd be great for your big heavy duty trucks, Ford. Here you go. Here's these batteries. They have great energy density. You want to try them out? Or is it just Ford being like, it's Tesla. I don't want anything to do with it.
I think it's they'd have to change. I mean, Ford is horizontally integrated, you know. It's not vertically integrated, and that is just a whole different matter in itself for Tesla to be selling its parts out to an horizontally integrated kind of company. I mean, I think right now with Tesla on the scene, it's looking like it's kind of like you know how you go to like tournaments. It's like a tournament. I think all of these different players are different tournaments, and right now depending on leaning on another player that they're competing against may not be the best in their competition to be competing against that player. So they're not quite certain where their place is in the tournament. So I don't think they're apt to want to help Tesla out. And even if Tesla did sell them, I'm not sure Tesla feels quite confident that these people wouldn't be using somewhat of a demise even if they went. I mean, what if they order all the batteries and cancel them? Or what if they recall them? Like you have no clue to what degree they're going to play a game with them. Not that they would, but not that they wouldn't. I mean, there's a lot of dishonesty as we see out there with the auto industry manufacturing.
It's like the Austin Martin being linked to that anti-EV study. And it's like it's kind of shame for Austin Martin. It's like I kind of joke around. It's like and I rarely ever say this, but it's like when I always think about a company that Tesla could, there's a lot of legacy debt with Ford, and there's a lot of legacy debt with Jaguar, Aston Martin, a Land Rover, but they're such a small company. The Land Rover and the Jaguar, they'd probably be a pretty easy company to acquire. And it's like, well, and like with the whole Aston Martin thing, it kind of threw it out the window when Mercedes took a stake in it. But I was like, that was, it's like one of those companies. It's like when about 5 to 6 years ago, it was rumored that Apple was interested in buying McLaren, or McLaren was interested in selling to Apple.
Interesting, yeah.
And it's like, I really want to know what the how the Roadster's built to be like, hey, Elon, there's this great company that builds great carbon fiber monocoques called McLaren.
Yeah, he
you
loves
might want,
McLaren.
yeah, and you wrecked one.
Right.
This would be a great time to invest in this company and let him like stay as is, because I think McLaren is known for their weird issues with their cars, but it's well, that's another company. It's like there's all these very small niche companies. I think Land Rover and Jaguar are niche companies because celebrities mainly buy Land Rovers, or Land Rovers stay on the roads for long periods of time and they don't leave farms.
Yeah,
It's
you're
like it's
talking
a
about an Indian company, Tata Motors.
yeah, and it's and Tata, and I didn't even think Tata left. I don't think they own as much as they do they used to. I think, but and it's like I don't know. It's kind of funny because it's like Ford used to own Land Rover, and now that Land Rover's coming out with that Defender, everybody's complaining about how the Defender doesn't. You're not a car nut like me, so not everybody might get this reference, but the Defender used to be this awesome off-roading machine, and everybody's saying it's a Land Rover Discovery. It's
No,
nothing
I love the
special.
old Land Rovers. I love the old Toyota Land Cruisers too.
Yeah, and it's like, and Ford is building this Bronco that is better than the Defender. And the Defender was always was superior to any off-road vehicle. And it's like, well, this $30,000 Ford is better than this $50,000 Land Rover. Like, kind of like it's an oxymoron almost.
Yeah, you are
But
right. I mean, there is like, I mean, people can buy expensive cars to some degree, even if the car isn't that reliable under the hood. It's the fact that it looks good and it does well, and the fact that they can pay money. It's like flashing, like I can pay to get it repaired all the time. You know,
yeah, it's like
like I have the money, look what I drive.
it's and the depreciation rate on a Land Rover top trim is outrageous. It's like you can lose like 30% of its value in its first year or a couple
Yeah, it sounds
years.
about right. Driving, yeah.
It's like $140,000 Land Rover is worth like 60,000 dollars after a couple of years of ownership.
That's like 70%.
$100,000 Tesla Model X is still around 70 to 80 grand. That's pretty bad. Like that's a the it's just it, it Teslas do depreciate. They just depreciate slower. It's like I and it's. It's mind-boggling how such a young company doesn't depreciate fast. Like you would
Because the
think,
cars are still so novel. I mean,
yeah.
Tesla's still climbing. When the other auto industries are just keeping this level pace, they have to come up with some kind of new novel idea of a car or design, where Tesla's design still is just disrupting and showing up on the scene. Like people are like, what is this Tesla? You know what I mean?
And it's the updates. It's the constant updates, and
Right.
and Ford seems like they're going to be doing that with the Mach-E, or that their electric cars. It seems like they're or the cars with the their assisted driving features. They're going to get updates.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting because Volkswagen's already. They had to have a physical. They had to, you had to bring their ID3 back to the dealership to get an update, and then there was another company that had an update issue where you actually had to go back to the dealership. It's going to be interesting how Legacy Auto goes up to these updates, because this is a car. This isn't a phone that you're updating. This is a phone won't kill you if you put up put an update unless it has an exploding battery. A car can kill you. Like it is going to be interesting if any of these legacy auto companies kind of slip up and like say the I'm not going to say the brakes don't work, but say the lights stop working with an update or something like that. It's going to be interesting how like legacy auto adapts to this and gets around it.
Yeah, it definitely is like, yeah. And the whole pandemic, it all happening, this huge shift amongst the pandemic just throws another unprecedented wrench into it that no one expected or knows quite what to do with it to a degree. You know, they're just getting the rhythm of it right now.
Yeah, it's like, and this is something that I used to say it. I said it a lot when about 4 or 5 years ago, when they were talking about banning cars, banning gasoline cars. I was like, and they were saying 2035 or something like that. Now, UK is going to do it in 2025 or 2030, I think. And I'm like, y'all can do it sooner. You know that, right? I mean, yeah, there's one EV manufacturer in the world, but if you just did it in 2 years and say, in 2 years, we're not going to be allowing the purchase or sale of gasoline cars, it's going to happen. Like, it's going to force car companies to build EVs, even if they're crappy. And I'm getting to that point of like, we just need to force people to make these things instead of incentivizing them and waiting for them to come to market. It's like, I think you need to force these companies' hands instead of saying, okay, y'all can do what you want. You just need to say, no more gasoline cars. Sorry, build
Yeah,
EVs. And I
that's
think
true.
I think the EVs will come.
I agree.
But we are at 88 minutes, and I'm gonna cut it short. I'm gonna cut it off here. But do you have any last thoughts? Brain burbles.
No, I think we covered quite a lot. That was really great. Thank you for having me on, Scott. I enjoyed that.
No, thank you for coming on. I'm gonna add some notes to the podcast. Oh,
Here's a bonus bit about the doxing.
The bonus part. How, what was your first reaction when you were doxxed? Like when you first realized? What was like your knee-jerk reaction? I'm just
Well,
curious.
I got doxxed October 18th.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, the night before, supposedly the person, I mean, I don't really want to give them a lot of heed to it because it just creates more heat, had mentioned on their account that they had some juicy information or some kind of defaming information about me, which somebody had sent to me, and they said, don't worry about it. But they kind of did build up, like, if they have anything on you, like, don't worry about it, like, just hold your head up high, which I thought was kind of strange and interesting all in itself. And I mean, I could give more background to that, but I won't. But so it kind of made me, what's going on, what's going to happen? And like, the person who doxed me had stated they got the information from somebody, which was just in itself interesting. It is either a mind game or it's true in itself. But no, it was quite a shock, because it just didn't even make sense why someone would go after me. Like, the person who did go after me gained some I think I assume they thought they would gain some momentum because possibly I had done a podcast with Elon before. So but if someone actually gave them the information, there's a whole dark kind of ulterior motive there that is awful in itself. And I mean, the fact that this person was stated by Tesla, they were afraid that this person who had worked at Tesla was not allowed on premises, that they would come back up and shoot at people. It just for them to even have my information was not a good thing at all. And the fact
No.
that they had a vendetta against me when really there wasn't a whole reason to have a vendetta against me, I think.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's like I understand with like some Tesla people, it's like pro Tesla people. I won't name accounts, but like they're pretty direct about making fun of Tesla Q. or making fun of people who've wronged Tesla or something like that. They're
right.
They're pretty. They're and you kind of laugh, like if you even like interacted with, like, I can't see what tweets you like or whatever like that, but it's like I don't see you like a whole bunch of Bark Smeagol tweets. I don't see I don't see you like a whole bunch of FUD. I don't see you interacting with these people. And
well,
that was
FUD, like I've debunked a lot of the FUD, like with a lot of logical arguments, but I just don't attack people. That's just not my modus operandi.
It's like I attack people. I will admit I am outrageous and rude, but like, I that was the whole thing. It's like I kind of understand them going after Whole Mars. I kind of get that, and like it sucks for him, and it sucks for you. It's both equally messed up because you're not employees, being off Twitter makes me feel bad for that girl who was just in those news stories that she feels like she was wronged by Tesla. It's like maybe there was a miscommunication, and maybe I was only offended because she started started being rude to her a little bit, or because I was annoyed about hearing about her, and she was cozying up to Tesla Q people. Maybe I should have just ignored her. Or said, let me hear your story and let me see what I can take it as. But it's like, because I'm an open, curious person. Like, I'm willing to, like, prod and ask questions that I shouldn't ask. It's like, I have that, I don't know. It's like, I'd ask TC how much money he's lost shorting Tesla stock. And that's the most rudest question you can possibly ask. It's like, I'd ask how much money you made. I'm willing to ask weird, awkward questions, and I don't know. It was disappointing to me because it was like, why go to the lengths that you did? The guy could have said, this is this woman, blah, 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 and left your family out of it. Like he could have done, he could have said everything he said and ignored your family. And it's like, that was this like most disappointing part of it. It's like, yeah, you could have gone after Kristen, but not her family. Like even with your husband, I was like, blur out his face. Yes, all the kids are minors in these photos, but blur out, like, her husband isn't on Twitter. He doesn't have a presence on Twitter. Why invade his privacy? Like I felt bad for him. I was like, that's messed up on him because he doesn't know what she does on Twitter. She's not paying. Well,
He does to a degree, like, and he understands, but it's just like you. Like someone stated the other day, and actually, it was one of the Tesla Q, the ones that was part of this kind of doxing to a degree. Like rich people ability to remain anonymous, and even people who become public faces, like a lot of them do not put their children out there or their stuff, and some people are like, you should just put it all out there. Well, I absolutely do not think it is right to put other people that are related to you into a public eye when they didn't ask for it. Nobody needs to know that when you were 4 years old that someone showed you around in their bathtub or hanging out with the puppy in the backyard. Like, it's cute to family members and friends, but to a bunch of people, even though, like, I agree, we both all love, I mean, majority of us like Tesla, we like Elon, we like the stock, we like SpaceX, Neuralink, like other people that are related to me didn't ask to go on these excursions to be exposed this way about their lives. Like, I have stalkers. I have people who seriously like have weird obsessions with me. And it has not, I mean, you can get that to some point when you get amount of followers, or even people who become companies get big enough, you're always gonna have lawsuits. This is just what happens. Like Tesla will always have lawsuits. They'll always have someone suing them. This is just what happens. I know many people who run companies or higher up in companies, and this comes with the territory. And what's the crazy thing is that when jealousy and people's retribution and vendetta to hurt people who are innocent in something because they assume something, decide to take action. That is wrong. That's how people end up in prison. because you assumed wrong and you're hurting somebody that you haven't even asked that person if this is the case. You just assume way too much, you know?
It's like with Holt Mars, it's like he's defending a thing that he loves And maybe he can be obtuse. Anybody can be obtuse. Anybody could be a little fragrant and a little out there. But like to go to the extent that they go to call him a Nazi or relate him to Hitler, Montana skeptic calling him, relating him to Hitler was pretty disgusting. Like that
it's
was
just
most
bizarre. That doesn't even make sense. I mean,
it's like, and it's like I've seen Omar once call us all of us motherfuckers. That was it. Like he was
he
like, good morning.
That.
Yeah,
he called himself like, the biggest like hater.
Yeah, yeah, it's like he just like I've like never seen him like say a cuss word. Like, and maybe I've missed it. It's like I've never really like maybe he made fun of you all, but like I've never really seen anything too derogatory. It's like I've said worse. Like.
Well, the one thing about Holmars or Omars, he fires off pretty fast.
Yeah.
And he usually, I mean, he aims pretty well. That's where he does pretty well. But I mean, there will come times where he's firing off and he has to, you know, has to eat what he said. He has to, he'll say sorry. He'll realize he's wrong. And he has a good heart about it. And there's a lot of people who will just stick to their guns, even though they are wrong. That's just, to be frank, is what Tesla Q is.
And that's the one thing I kind of liked about Omar. He'd call people stupid. They'd be like, that's a stupid idea. Or, that's stupid. And I'm like,
he kind of says what people are thinking, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, I wish I had the balls to call somebody who liked me stupid. Like, I don't know. It's always entertaining. And it's just like, I feel like Tesla Q, the people who target him or at legal foes with him, got too attached to their emotions. It's like I can't.
Well, they're emotionally attached to the money that they want or that they're losing. That's the whole problem. And
like,
they say when you trade stock, you shouldn't be emotionally attached, and they are.
Yeah. And that's it, folks. I want to thank Kristen for coming on and having a lovely conversation. She's always so interesting to talk to. If you want to come on the podcast or have any notes, please email me at scottpittity@gmail.com. And that's spelled scottpittity@gmail.com. If you don't know how to spell gmail.com, then you're a moron. I don't have any other notes. I want y'all to be nice to each other, be kind, be aware that everybody's going through their own thing and you never really know. They have their own stressors other than what we're all going through with this COVID. So just be respectful of that. Once again, Kristen, she's awesome to talk to. I highly recommend picking her brain. Hopefully I'm going to have Omar on soon and the other few people. If I can get a hold of them since I'm suspended from Twitter. But thank you for listening, and y'all have a nice day or night or whenever y'all listening to this.